श्री नरसिंह जय नरसिंह जय जय नरसिंह प्रहलादेश जय पद्म मुख पद्म प्रिंगा All glories to Narasimhadev. All glories to Narasimhadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and like a honeybee is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the Goddess of Fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Goddess of Fortune is always embraced by Lord Narasimhadev. This is mentioned in the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, written by the great commentator Srila Sridhar Swami. The following verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vaga isha yasya vadane lakshmir yasya chal vakshasi yasyasti hridaye samvitam narasingham aham bhaje. Lord Narasimhadev is always assisted by Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and he is always embracing the goddess of fortune to his chest. The Lord is always complete in knowledge within himself. Let us offer obeisances unto Narasimhadev. Similarly, in his commentary on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.1.1, Sridhar Swami describes Lord Narasimhadev in this way. Prahlada Hridayaladham Bhakta Vidya Vidaranam Sharindu Ruchim Bande Parindra Vadanam Harim. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nations that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like moonshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances unto him again and again. In the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, our acharyas have recognized Lord Narasimhadev as a Paravashta avatar. Lord Narasimhadev, Ramchandra, and Krishna are worshipped as the most important of all of the avatars, because they manifest the greatest degrees of their supreme opulences of the Supreme Lord. Sridhar Swami, who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped as the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, accepted Lord Narasimhadev as his Ishtadev, as did Shankaracharya and many other great acharyas, especially in the renounced order of life. In this verse, Sridhar Swami reveals that Lord Narasimhadev not only does he enlighten Prahlad within his heart, but he always kills the nations that attacks the devotees.
what is that nations? Lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. These are various weapons of nations. They attack our devotional creeper, try to kill our propensity to serve the Lord and love the Lord. Hiranyakashipu was a personification of this nations. Prahlad Maharaj is truly the personification of bhakti or devotion. Hiranyakashipu, with all of his intelligence and all of his strength, all of his weapons, whatever he had, he tried to kill Prahlad. In the same way, nescience, with all weapons, all associates, has declared war against the bhakti in your heart and will attack. Not a question, maybe, is attacking and will continue to attack until Lord Narasingadev tears it apart. Like Prahlad, whether he was thrown in fire from the top of cliffs into a pit of venomous snakes, he realized he was helpless. He was only a child. His only protection was taking shelter of the Lord with sincere humility and devotion. In the same way, that is the only way that we can access the power and the mercy of the Lord to come to our aid to protect us when we are attacked. Now, in warfare, oftentimes the enemy will plan out an attack where you don't even know you're being attacked until it's too late. It's a sunny day. Everything seems so peaceful and so nice. But the troops of the enemy are secretly surrounding you on all sides, even infiltrating through spies into your inner ranks. And we're thinking, how nice, such a good arrangement the Lord is making for me today. Let me relax. Even let me take a break and enjoy a little. After all, you know, bhakti's difficult. But you're under siege at every moment. If the attacks are not manifested, you should know you're being attacked. It's just not manifested at the moment. But it will manifest. That's for sure. So therefore, a devotee who has intelligence takes shelter of the Lord in all situations. There's no safety in this material world. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. It is an illusion to think you can be safe in this world on the material platform. Therefore, a devotee knowing there is danger at every step, and in between every step, and in between what's between every step too, and everywhere else, in every atomic particle. Danger is imminent in this material world. Just like we're sitting in this nice air-conditioned hall, and we're thinking, how nice. On the material platform, Pakistan has its bombs pointed right in this direction. Nuclear bombs. At the same time, we don't know what the ocean is going to do at the next moment. And we don't know what types of little bacteria and germs and viruses may be mobilizing their forces right within your body. Just ready to attack. Attacking. So a devotee is conscious of this reality. And a devotee is fearless and peaceful in all circumstances, because a devotee has faith in the Lord's protection. Lord Narasimhadev, as he killed Hiranyakashipu, he will protect the devotion within our heart by destroying all the enemy's attacks if we turn to him. Nescience is constantly attacking to destroy the bhakti in our heart, the same way Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. And Hiranyakashipu, he had such a creative intelligence of how to kill Prahlad. The Bhagavatam only discusses a few ways he tried to kill him. Through fire, through water, through air, through wild animals, through snakes, through poison, through swords and tridents. But he was doing this every day for months and months and months. He was very creative. I mean, just what we hear about, that's very creative. In one place, he put him underwater and then put a mountain on top of him. Even the greatest serial killers have never thought of that one. So Maya Devi, who empowered Hiranyakashipu, she's all-pervading in this material existence. And she has all her forces after everyone to kill the bhakti within our hearts. Therefore, our acharyas tell, those obstacles that keep us from loving devotional service to Krishna can be removed by crying out for the mercy of Lord Narasimhadev. With his nails, he tears to pieces our lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. And we need him. In the material sense, the Shastras, as well as tradition, teach that Lord Ganapati, Ganesh, removes impediments from the path. Now, many, many millions upon millions of materialistic people, they worship Ganapati for this purpose. I remember in 1970, I was in New Delhi, and I was just so enraptured by the experience of India. I had just arrived. And near Connaught Circus, there was a Ganesh temple. And I saw this family. They were worshiping with so much enthusiasm. They were doing pujas and chanting mantras, and some of them were weeping tears. And I was thinking, I want to be like them. I have never seen such worship like this. I was really inspired, and I sat there for about an hour and a half through this puja, and they were just chanting with so much intensity. And they were making offerings again and again, and there was yajnas going on. And I just wanted to hear. I was waiting it for it to end so I can hear from them how I could be like them. Please teach me. So afterward, I asked, can you tell me about this worship, please?
Maharaji ki jai.
Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Bhakti Purushottaraya Maharaj. So I was really, really eager to hear. And I asked them, can you tell me about your devotion to the Lord and what you're doing? And the father said, yes. He said, I'm starting a new business. And I have a lot of competition. And I want to defeat my competition and make a lot of money. Therefore, we're doing this puja. Anyways, I left for the Himalayas after that. There must be something higher than this. So many materialistic people worship Lord Ganapati. Here in Maharashtra, you may have met someone like that sometime in your life. And what is the purpose? Ganapati, he will remove obstacles from the desires of your aspiration. And sometimes people stand in line for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours just to ask for something like good grades or a nice wife or husband or a raise in salary or good grades in the exams or unlimited such requests he's getting every day. But Sri Rupa Goswami, he says, devotees can pray to Lord Ganesh to remove the obstacles from our spiritual path. And therefore we find, even in Vrindavan, just at the entrance of many temples, including our own, we find Lord Ganapati. Before we enter the temple, we pray, please remove the obstacles that is impeding me from really pleasing Radha Gopinath in my devotional service. Now Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita, he prays that Ganeshji, he has the power to remove obstacles, because he is constantly worshipping Lord Narasimhadev by keeping his feet on top of his head. And this worship of Lord Narasimhadev has been established in every temple by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, perhaps in every ISKCON temple throughout the world, after every aarti, there is the chanting of Lord Narasimhadev's prayers. We should pray to Lord Narasimhadev to remove the obstacle of this sound system. Arivo. even at the time of Lord Krishna. Oh, Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada gave us this, sometimes people question, we are worshippers of Radha and Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, all the other parts of the tree are satisfied. What is the need of doing this mantra to Lord Narasingha Dev? What we see, that it has been done even by the greatest souls. In Vrindavan, the home of Krishna for the latter part of his lila was Nandagram. And even today, if you go to Nandagram, just on the other side of the Nandabhavan Mandir, from Pavan Sarovar, there is an ancient temple with a deity of Lord Narasingha Dev. And it is said that because so many demons were attacking Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, all the Vrijavasis, their greatest concern was simply the safety of Krishna. They approached their priest, Gargarishi. And Gargarishi instructed Nanda Maharaj to worship and pray to Lord Narasingha Dev to protect Krishna. Just as we worship and pray to Lord Narasingha Dev to protect our Krishna consciousness. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Nanda Maharaj appeared as Jagannath Mishra. Yashoda Mai appeared as Sachi Devi. Krishna appeared as Nimai. He was born on Palgun Purnima while everyone was chanting the holy names. For 1 month after his appearance, he remained in a secluded place with his mother, Sachi Devi, before they actually went to their home. That is tradition in Bengal. During that time, many wonderful pastimes took place. One was, every time Nimai would cry, nothing could pacify him. And for all the residents of Navadweep who were gathered there, the relatives and friends of Sachi Mata, they loved this child. Just by seeing him and being seen by him, their hearts were absolutely conquered. There could be no material desires in his presence. Their only aspiration was to make him happy. And therefore, there was nothing that could possibly pain their heart more than seeing him cry. But he wouldn't stop crying until they all raised their arms and loudly chanted the holy names. He is one of the most pleasing personalities the world has ever seen. You will discover that on your own in due course of time. And Srila Prabhupada explains that from his very infancy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased with loud chanting of the holy names. Just after he inaugurated this Harinam Sankirtan amongst the ladies of the house, the demigods came to have his darshan. But they wanted to play jokes on his family. So one demigod, he came semi-invisible in the form of a shadow, and he was just whisking through the house. And they saw the shadow. Some thought he was a ghost. Some thought he was a thief coming to steal the baby or maybe haunt the baby. This was serious. Because Sachimata, 8 consecutive times, she gave birth to a daughter, and right in that little maternity home, they all died. Finally, she gave birth to one son, Vishwarup, but they were very concerned. Here is Nimai. He could also die. That was very much their experience. So she gave birth to him under a neem tree, because neem trees are considered to be very powerful to ward off the influence of evil spirits and ghosts. And she also gave him the name Nimai for the same purpose. So when they saw this ghostly personality, it was actually a demigod, what did they do to protect Nimai? They all screamed out, Narasingha, Narasingha. And the ghost kept whisking by. And other demigods started making different kinds of noises. And they were chanting mantras, especially crying out the names of Lord Narasimhadev. And one Brahmin, he was doing Narasingha pujas, chanting mantras. And then he cried out to the ghost or the thief, whoever it could be. He said, today you are very lucky that you have escaped. You don't know the power of Lord Narasimhadev. And all the demigods laughed. But we find here that to protect the little baby Nimai and to remove all obstacles from him growing up nicely, they turned to Lord Narasimhadev. As the little baby infant of our own Krishna consciousness is being attacked by so many ghosts, the ghost of doubt, the ghost of envy, the ghost of laziness. The ghost of procrastination. The ghost of disunity between devotees. And of course, the ghosts of the 6 anartas, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. They are trying to kill that little Nimai within our heart, our propensity to serve Krishna. On another occasion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he established the Harinam Sankirtan movement, he was with Srivas Thakur, and he asked Srivas, who was performing a ceremony, he said, chant the Brihat Sahasranam. Srivas chanted. He came upon the name Narasingha. Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the mood of Lord Narasimhadev. Because we understand from the Vaishnava Shastras that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the loving mood of Srimati Radharani, covered by her golden complexion. And therefore, all the other incarnations, all the other expansions of the Lord in the various Vaikuntha planets are all within him. The potency of all of these avatars are within Krishna because he is the source of all of them.
when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually became Narasingha in his ecstasy. He began to roar. His hair stood on end, and his eyes became as red as fiery charcoals. Hare Krishna. And he picked up a club and ran out of Srivasa's house onto the streets, roaring that he was going to kill the atheists. Everyone on the streets of Navadvip, when they saw this form of Mahaprabhu, they were in absolute fear. They scattered in all directions and fled and hid in their homes. Soon the street was deserted. Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness and said to Srivas Pandit, look at what I have done. I have caused fear in all these innocent people. By doing so, I have made a great offense. When the Lord would enter into the mood of a devotee, he was the personification of humility. Srivas Thakur smiled. He said, no, my Lord. Anyone who takes your holy name even once sincerely destroys 10 million offenses. And anyone who saw you today in this mood of Lord Narasingadev will be liberated from the clutches of birth and death forever. On another occasion, the inhabitants of Navadvip, early one morning, they came to Lord Chaitanya's house with gifts, rice paddy, cloths, scents, fruits, coconuts, bananas. Whatever the best things they had, they brought to the Lord. Now, these people were very special. They had such a deep longing to see Lord Chaitanya dance in Sankirtan. But they couldn't. Because at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only performed Nam Sankirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur. The doors were locked, the windows were locked, and they didn't even have air conditioning. But they didn't need it, because they were transcendental. All this stuff, all these modern facilities are for people who are not so transcendental, actually. They would loudly cry out the holy names all night, every night, for one full year. And the egoistic Brahmins, they were not able to tolerate the insult of not being allowed in. They were spreading horrible, blasphemous rumors against Lord Chaitanya, Srivas Thakur, and all the devotees. And you know the saying, if you repeat a lie enough times, it's accepted as a truth. Well, they were just perpetually repeating these lies throughout Navadvip. This name, this Srivas Pandit, do you know what he's doing? During the day, he and his cohorts, they go and find beautiful, young, innocent, virgin girls. They seduce them, bring them to their house, and at night, they fill them with all kinds of intoxicating beverages. And they're intoxicated as well. Then they perform tamasic tantric rites. And then enjoy with them and eat abominable foods. And when you hear the screaming, that's what's going on in there. And people were believing it. He's polluting the whole Navadvip, these Vaishnavas. We cannot tolerate this. We should tear down the house of Srivas Thakur, throw it in the Ganges. We should grab Srivas and his brothers, tie them with ropes, and turn them over to the government authorities to
punish, to torture, and to imprison. Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, the innocent people, they were praying and crying. We want to see Nimai Pandit dance. We have heard all about it. We want to participate in this kirtan. But because of these atheists, because of these envious people, they won't let anyone else in. When the atheist persons would hear this, they would cry out, "He's one of them!" They would chase after them and intimidate them. Very difficult situation. So the innocent people came to the Lord in the morning after the all-night kirtan with gifts and prayers. They loved him. And that was the Lord, when the Lord first gave his instructions to the common people. He said, whatever you're doing, whether you're walking or sitting or eating or sleeping, whether you're working or relaxing, whether you're alone or with your family or in your shop or at home, you should take the name of Krishna. Always chant the name of Krishna. Constantly chant the name of Krishna. Never, for any reason, give up the name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother, your father, your real treasure of life. Krishna is your life and soul. And it's very simple. If you have instruments, play them. If there's no instruments, just clap your hands. With your family members, with your friends, or just by yourself. Clap your hands and chant these names. And I will give you a very special mantra, the Maha Mantra. 32-word, 16-syllable mantra. And according to my observation of the Vaishnav histories, this was the first time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, second time, he gave to Tapan Mishra, that he gave the Maha Mantra to the world. He instructed them, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you do this, you become my life and soul. So this became the greatest enthusiasm of Navadvip. The word spread to chant Hare Krishna and Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. These were the two chants that the Lord gave. And everywhere there was a clapping and playing of mrudangas and kartals and singing the names of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go from place to place down the streets, and wherever he saw people chanting Hare Krishna, he was so obliged to them. He would embrace them, offer obeisances to them, put garlands on them with his own hands, anoint their every limb with sandalwood pulp. This is Mahaprabhu's love, although he's Krishna himself. In the role of an acharya, he's teaching people to love Krishna. And anyone who took to the path, even at the very beginning stages, became the life and soul of the Lord. The Lord was humbly serving these conditioned souls if they just accepted the name of Krishna. When we read Srila Prabhupada's biography, we find he was of the same spirit of compassion. In a place like Manhattan, the Lower East Side of New York City, all kinds of people were coming. Drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, atheists, meat eaters, gamblers. They were coming in. And if any one of them just chanted Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would serve them with his life and soul. He would cook for them. I met one person. He was doing all the bad things. And he told me many years later, he said, because I agreed to chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would take me to his apartment. Or he would come to my apartment. He would cook for me. And he would preach to me. And
And he would make medicines for me when I was sick. Truly in the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So grateful for anyone who just takes to the process by which they can develop love of God. Wanting nothing for himself. So in Navadvip soon, thousands and thousands of people were chanting Hare Krishna. And these smarta Brahmins, who were so envious, they complained to the government in that area headed by Chand Kazi. Chand Kazi came down the streets and he saw this chanting. He was outraged because it was against the law. It was an offense to the government for any Hindu to demonstrate his religion in public. So he sent soldiers, over 100, to comb through the streets of Navadvip anyone that was caught chanting Hare Krishna or any name of God other than his own. They would be beaten, sometimes imprisoned, oftentimes plundered of all their wealth and property. People were fearful. And Chand Kazi himself was punishing devotees. He picked up Murdunga and broke it. When the people came and told Lord Chaitanya about this, he said, "It's all right. Go on chanting. Have no fear. Go back home. Continue chanting. Krishna will protect you." They went back, but the persecution was getting worse and worse. When they told Lord Chaitanya about this, especially about the Murdunga being broken, Mahaprabhu manifested his personified form as time, the destroyer of all. And he cried out, "Nityananda, bring the devotees, spread the message throughout Navadvip. Today, I will personally lead Nam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadvip. And we will go right to every bathing ghat, to every marketplace, and then to the house of Chand Kazi. I will stand before him like time personified. Let us see what he does to me. Today we will inundate the entire Navadvip Dham with a downpour of Krishna praying through Harinam. Everyone bring a torch tonight." And they did. There were millions of people gathered. This was the show of all shows. To see Mahaprabhu dance besides the most intimate associates who can fit in Srivasa's house, nobody had ever seen it. Lord Chaitanya divided the kirtan. Srivas Thakur led one kirtan. Advaitacharya led one kirtan. Or did the dancing, Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya said, "But Nityananda Prabhu, you must stay with me." And they danced through the streets. And that is a great history. Anyone who saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance, ecstatic prema bhakti erupted in their hearts. And he went to the house of Chand Kazi. Thousands of people were chanting, millions chanting Hare Krishna. And others, in a parallel chorus, were chanting, "Kill the Kazi." Kazi was quite frightened. He sent some of his guards. "What is this? Sounds like some Hindu wedding ceremony. Go out and stop it." They went out with their clubs and their weapons to stop it. But when they saw millions of people chanting, "Kill the Kazi," and when they saw Mahaprabhu in his ecstasies of love of God, they put their beards under their
And they took off their turbans. And they started dancing and chanting so that they wouldn't be detected. And then they went back to the Qazi and they said, Nimai pundits out there with millions of people and they are very angry. We'll go out and stop them. We try. Not possible. And they came to Chankazi's house and they started breaking down the walls and trampling the gardens. And the Mahamantra was going loud, but so was something like that. Chankazi, he had control of the military and everything else. What did he do? He ran upstairs into some closet and hid. The Lord came to his door, talked to one of his secretaries, bring Chankazi immediately. Chankazi came down. He was very shy. He was quite meek and humble, actually. And Nimai said, I'm a guest at your house. Why are you hiding? Why you don't come? And he said, but you're a very angry guest. And you have millions of angry guests with you. He said, actually, Nimai, you know, I was from the same village as your maternal grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, and according to tradition, because I'm from his village, I'm considered his brother. Therefore, I am your uncle. And in family affairs, even if the uncle does some mistake or does something wrong, still the nephew will forgive him. They talked so many things about calculating and about religion and about the personality of Godhead. And Chankazi became very, very much transformed by Lord Chaitanya's association. At a certain point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, why you were so ferocious against any chanting in the streets previously, but tonight you didn't do anything? Can you explain? He said, yes, I can explain, but we should go alone into a private place because this is very confidential. The Lord said, my associates are also very confidential, so there's no secrets for them. He began to speak. He said, last night, the night after I broke that mridanga, I went to sleep. And in my sleep, suddenly I was awoke. There was this ferocious being on my chest. He had the head and the claws of a lion and the body of a man. His eyes were red like fire. His teeth were like sharp swords. His tongue was like a dueling sword. His mane, it seemed to be scattering the sky. And his claws were sharp as razors. He roared. He screamed, Qazi, you have offended my devotees. And you have bifurcated the mridanga. And today I will bifurcate you. And the Qazi said he dug those claws into his chest and began ripping him apart. Narasingha Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai. And then he they stopped and said, Kazi, you haven't done anything so wrong yet. But if ever you impede Nam Sankirtan of my devotees, I will be back to destroy you and to destroy your entire dynasty of Malechas and Yavanas. Rah! So he made a promise to Lord Chaitanya that neither he nor any of his descendants would ever interfere or create any obstacle to Nam Sankirtan. So here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the first Nam Sankirtan party in the history of this world by Lord Chaitanya, he appeared as Lord Nrsingadev to remove the obstacles from his devotee's life to chant Hare Krishna and become perfect. So this is a great tradition. In fact, in Navadvip, there is a place called Narasingapali, also Devapali. In Satya Yuga, after Lord Narasingadev performed his lila with Hiranyakashipu and received the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj and blessed Hiranyakashipu to get liberation on the basis of Prahlad's prayers, he left that place to return to Vaikuntha. But on the way, he remembered that in the coming Kali Yuga, I am going to appear in my full, most munificent incarnation of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And remembering the mercy that he was going to bestow upon the whole world in this avatar, which was actually his original form, he decided to visit Navadvip. So Lord Nrsingadev came to the island of Gotramdvip, just on the border. And the Mandakini Ganga River, he washed his hands and drank some water and took rest. Adipo. And all the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Vayu, Chandra, they all came down. Vishwakarma made beautiful little huts for them to reside on different hillocks and valleys. As long as Nrsingadev was resting there in Navadvip, they also were there to worship him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring his devotees there to worship Lord Nrsingadev. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour, after he took sannyas, at the beginning of the tour, he stopped in Kurukshetra, where he delivered the Kurma Brahman. And then he gave ecstatic love to Vasudev, the leper, and miraculously cured him of his disease. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to a very, very, perhaps the most famous temple of Nrsingadev, just outside of Vishakhapatnam. There's a hill called Singhachalam. And the presiding deity is Jyada Narasingha. The Lord, in the mood of a devotee, he offered his prostrated obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev. And he, with great ecstatic love, worshipped the Lord by chanting this mantra, which was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Narasingha, Jaya Narasingha, Jaya Jaya Narasingha, Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. And then he chanted another beautiful prayer, which was also composed by Sridhar Swami. This prayer so concisely describes the mood of Lord Narsingadev's compassion. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord recited different verses from the Shastra in glorification of Lord Narasimhadev. And then the priest brought the Lord nice garlands and prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After this, on the banks of Godavari, he met with Ramananda Rai, where they discussed the highest treasures of Vaishnava subject matter. Then he continued south, just outside of what is today called Vijayawada. There are hills called Mangalagiri. On top of one of those hills is the deity of Pana Narsingha. You have to walk up about 600 steps to get there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footprints were installed there by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to commemorate his visit. And there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Lord Narasimhadev. These two deities are very, very important. Singhachalam, Jiyada Narasingha, that was a particular place where, according to Sri Vaishnavas, Hiranyakashipu cast Prahlad into the ocean and put a mountain on top of him to kill him. But Lord Narasimhadev appeared. He was part Narasimhadev, part Varahadev, and he saved Prahlad. After Prahlad was coronated as king, Prahlad went back to that place and personally installed that deity there. Pana Narsingha, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is said that the pujaris, there's a whole long story of that also, how the Lord appeared there. But Prabhupada says that he's offered jaggery water. Actually, in Satya Yuga, he was offered nectar. In Treta Yuga, ghee. In Dwapa Yuga, milk. In Kali Yuga, jaggery. Because as Kali Yuga progresses, milk will be a scarcity also. And whatever quantity you offer the deity, he drinks half and leaves the other half. Have any of you been there? The deity is actually, his body is the mountain. And there's a hole where his mouth is. And when they pour the jaggery water, it's gone. It's not that you just say, you know, please accept it, and then he glances. It's not one of those glancing offerings. They actually pour it right into his mouth, and it's gone. And nobody knows where it goes, except the devotees, into Lord Narasimhadev's mouth. And even some scientists went there to figure out, where's this jaggery water going? Over the centuries, they're offering billions of gallons, perhaps, and it's not coming back out, and there's no ants anywhere. The Lord drinks it. But when we were there once, the pujari wanted to show us how he knows that the Lord is satisfied with half. You can offer him 10 gallons, or you can offer him one conch shell. But when half the offering is there, he said, listen carefully. You hear, rawr, 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 rawr. So that means he's satisfied. The other half is Mahaprasad. Arivo. The Lord worshipped him there. And shortly after that, he went to Ahovalam, where there are 9 ancient deities of Lord Narasimhadev, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped. When he returned to Puri, after about 2 years, he began to invite the devotees for Ratha Yatra each year. Before Ratha Yatra, along with all of his associates, he went into the Gundicha temple with brooms and buckets of water to clean Gundicha Mandir. Absolutely spotless, he said, it must be. And although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then the Supreme Personality, he's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known by his devotees, he was also a sannyasi, he was personally sweeping. Not with handle brooms, but on his hands and knees with these brooms. And he was encouraging all the devotees. Prabhupada said, as an acharya, he was teaching by his example. He said, I want you to collect every grain of dust, every piece of sand, every piece of straw. Everything must be out of here. And he said, you all make pile, and whoever collects the most, I will give you nice Mahaprasad. But who do you think collected the most? All the devotees put their gathered dust, straw, and sand together in a mountain. And Lord Chaitanya, he made a mountain that was far bigger than everyone else put together. He was cleaning. It appears he had 1,000 hands. And then they brought in hundreds and hundreds, thousands of buckets of water, and they cleaned the ceilings, the walls, the floors, the Jagamohan, the Kirtan hall, the altar. Everything was cleansed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was polishing with his own cloth to make it just shiny clean. Such enthusiasm. Just to show us, this is the type of enthusiasm we must have to clean the temple of our hearts. Lord Chaitanya's thought, Jagannath will not agree to give his darshan in our heart unless it is absolutely spotless clean. No desire for sense gratification. No desire for prestige. No desire for anything except service to Vaishnavas, service to the Lord, and compassion toward other living beings. After they thoroughly clean Gundicha temple, just next door is an ancient temple of Lord Narasimhadev, which has been there since Satya Yuga. In the Skanda Purana, Purushottam Mahatmya, it is described there how when King Indrajumana was taken by Narada Muni to Niladri, the place where Jagannath was to manifest, they first found the deity of Narasimhadev and had a wonderful ceremony to install him in a temple. Since that time, that deity is there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his devotees, thoroughly cleaned that temple. Sweeping, sweeping, sweeping every grain of dust. And then washing, washing, washing till it was sparkling. After the whole day of cleansing, they took rest for a few minutes. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed Nam Sankirtan. In the temple of Narasimhadev, they had an ecstatic kirtan. They were chanting so loudly that the entire universe was shaking. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, enraptured by the nectar of the holy name, he was dancing like a mad lion. Suddenly he stopped, and he turned to one of the sons of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya had six sons. Three of them were great devotees: Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Sri Gopal. He said, "Sri Gopal, chant the holy names and dance. How would you like to get that order from Lord Chaitanya?" "Well, you have gotten that order from Lord Chaitanya through Parampara, through the scriptures. He's ordering all of us to chant the holy names of the Lord and dance." Well, Sri Gopal, he started chanting and dancing under the ecstatic gaze of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in ecstasy, he fell to the ground, unconscious. Seriously unconscious. His father, Advaita Prabhu, he ran to him, put his dear son on his lap. The devotees gathered around him, sprinkling water in his face. But there was no sign of life. At that time, when it was really desperate, Advaitacharya and all the devotees chanted very loudly the names of Lord Narasingha Dev. Narasingha, Narasingha, Narasingha.
Narasingha, Narasingha, Narasingha.
But they did it very loudly. They made the entire universe shake. Maybe something shook somewhere. But still, there was no symptom of life. So all the devotees were chanting Narasingha's name and crying. Then Lord Chaitanya very blissfully placed his hand over the heart of Sri Gopal and said, "Sri Gopal, stand up." And Sri Gopal stood up. And everybody loudly continued the kirtan of the holy names. Many very great devotees of Lord Narasingha Dev. We have mentioned Sridhar Swami, Shankaracharya. He was their Ishtadev. There was one associate of Lord Chaitanya who worshipped Narasingha Dev as his Ishtadev. His name was Prajumana Brahmachari. But Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with his devotion to Lord Narahari that Lord Chaitanya gave him the name Narasinghananda. One who takes great bliss in worshipping Lord Narasingha Dev. Also, it could mean one who gives great bliss to Lord Narasingha Dev. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada describes that he was such an intimate associate of Lord Narasingha Dev that Lord Narasingha Dev would personally speak to him. And he was very powerful. I'll tell a couple stories about Narasinghananda Brahmachari. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan for his first attempt, he came from Puri. As he was traveling, Maharaj Prataparudra, he just took all the facilities of his whole royal treasury and everything he had just to make wonderful, comfortable facilities for Lord Chaitanya and his devotees as they traveled through his kingdom. Then they came to Bengal, to Vidyanagar. where for about a week they stayed at Vidyavachastapati's house, the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Hundreds and thousands of people came to see Lord Chaitanya there. And he induced them all to take shelter of Nam Sankirtan. Soon there were millions of people. So he escaped. Not escaped, he just secretly left. And went to Kuliagram, which is today Navadvip town. In Kulia, he stayed at the house of one Madhava. There, our great historians on the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explain he forgave all those people who came to him who were previously offensive blasphemers, who blasphemed the Lord and his devotees. He gave great mercy to Devananda Pandit, and he excused Gopal Chapala from his offense to Srivas Pandit. From Kulia, Lord Chaitanya continued his route to Vrindavan. Narasinghananda Brahmachari, he was a Brahmachari in the real sense. That means he had no possessions. Not even a laptop computer. He was so renounced, he didn't even have a cell phone. He was so detached from this world, he didn't even have an iPod. He was a very staunch brahmachari. He had no money, he had no possessions, but he had unlimited desire to serve. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bhava-grahi. That means he accepts our desire to serve him. So Narasinghananda Brahmachari wanted Lord Chaitanya to have such a happy journey to Vrindavan. So he sat in a secluded place in meditation. And in his meditation, he was building roads all the way from Kulia toward Vrindavan. Wide roads, not made out of bricks, but made out of precious jewels. And then he covered every inch of the road with fragrant, auspicious flower petals so it would be soft for the Lord's feet. And along the sides of the roads, he was planting, not just planting, but they were immediately growing into full blossom with flowers, bakula trees with fragrant bakula flowers blossoming. And at intervals, he was excavating lakes with cooling water that was sweet as nectar, filled with fragrant lotus flowers, with ghats going down, which step and the steps were made of precious jewels. And then he created in his mind very, very pleasant breezes that were saturated with the fragrance of flowers. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking to everyone else, they were just, you know, dusty, dirty roads. Yes, pathways. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's usually a sign that I'm going overtime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only saw what was in Narasinghananda Brahmachari's mind with his eyes. He was seeing these beautiful, beautiful roads of jewels and flowers and lakes and trees.
Because the gross elements and the subtle elements are both material. So for the Lord, there's no difference. If you really, really want to do something for the Lord, if you really want to do it, you'll do it. You won't just think about it. Yes? You'll do it. Krishna consciousness is not just sentiment. I want to preach, but today there's a nice television show on. So while I'm watching the television, I'll meditate on preaching. The Lord is not going to see your preaching. He's going to see your television show. And is that what you want to do to your Lord? So if we really have a desire to do it, we'll do it. But if we don't have the means to do it, then our desire will manifest in the Lord's heart as the actual offering. And that is reality. If you're lame and you want to dance in kirtan, the Lord will see you dancing so beautiful during the kirtan. If you're old and you want to go out and distribute 10,000 books a day, the Lord will see you distribute 10,000 books a day. If we're sick and we want to eat nice prasad, something like that. But the Lord is Bhavagrahi. He does not accept the thing. He accepts the purpose in which it is offered. So for him, he was accepting the devotional offerings of Narsinghananda Brahmachari at every step. But something mysterious happened. He was making the road inch by inch. He came to Kanai Natashala, and then he couldn't build the road beyond that. His mind just wasn't able to do it. So he came out of his meditation and proclaimed to all the devotees, Lord Chaitanya is not going to Vrindavan. He's going to Kanai Natashala, and then he's coming back. He said, I am certain about it. Have no doubt what I say. Devotees were silent. Lord Chaitanya went on and on and on, many hundreds of kilometers. He went to Ramakeli. Do you remember our yatra? We drove from Navadweep to Ramakeli. It took about 8 hours. Mahaprabhu was walking with hundreds and thousands of people behind him. Wherever he went, people were just renouncing their homes just to follow him. Everyone was chanting the holy names in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli, where he met Rupa and Sanatan. They surrendered with great humility. Sanatan Goswami said, better you don't go to Vrindavan with so many people. You'll enjoy it much better, either yourself alone or with a few. From Ramakeli, he continued on to Kanai Natashala. And then he turned around to all the devotees and said, I'm going back to Puri. And he returned to Puri. Wonderful. But there was a great lesson. As he was leaving Jagannath Puri, all of his associates were coming with him, including Gadadhar Pandit. The Lord said to Gadadhar, you cannot leave Puri. You have taken vow of Kshetra Sannyas. That means you never leave the place of your worshipable deity, Tota Gopinath. You cannot leave. Gadadhar Pandit said, to hell with my vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Wherever your lotus feet are, is where my Tota Gopinath is.
And in seeing you, I'm worshiping Tota Gopina tens and millions of times. The Lord said, you may think like that, but if you come with me, I will be responsible for you making the offense of breaking your vow. Gadadhar Pandit said, I'm not coming with you. I just happen to make the decision to go see Sachimata in Navadvipa. And you just happen to be going at the same time. So Lord Chaitanya and his procession were there, and Gadadhar Pandit was just to the side, not part of the procession, but just off to the side, little behind. When they came to the Mahanadi River, which is really officially going out of Puri district, Lord Chaitanya got on a boat and he called Gadadhar Pandit and said, I am not going to be held responsible for your offense. Go back to Puri immediately. There's no other discussion on this subject. And then he drifted off on the boat. Gadadhar Pandit fell to the ground unconscious. The separation from the Lord. Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who also had Kshetra Sannyas to Jagannath, said, take him back with you and take care of him nicely. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to the outskirts of Puri in his unsuccessful attempt to go to Vrindavan, he called for Gadadhar Pandit. And he said, Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. This is a very essential lesson on the path of devotion. If you are hurting the hearts of devotees, Krishna will not allow you into Vrindavan. Gadadhar Pandit, then Lord Chaitanya said, I will not even attempt to go to Vrindavan ever again without the blessings and the sanction of Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit said, no, my Lord, it's not like that. You are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. I'm only your obedient servant. But if you want my blessings, come to my house for prasad and I will give you my blessings. So the Lord went to his house, and Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani in Krishna's Leela, she cooked so many beautiful preparations and served the Lord to his heart's content. But the devotees were struck with wonder with the wisdom of Narasinghananda Brahmachari. And there's another incident like this. Every year, the devotees of Navadvipa would come for the Rata Yatra. But one year, before the Chaturmasya, a relative of Shivananda Sen, named Srikanta Sen, he went alone to Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. He stayed about 2 months. As he was leaving back for Bengal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very strong order. He said, tell the devotees headed by Advaitacharya and Shivananda Sen, do not come to Jagannath Puri this year because I'm personally coming to Bengal in the month of Paush, December, January. Devotees were so excited. But still, Advaitacharya was going to go to Puri for Rata Yatra. To wait till January, December is a long time. But it was the order of the Lord. So they all somehow restrained themselves, and moment after moment they were just waiting for December to come. And then it came. Jagadananda Pandit and Shivananda Sen. They were waiting. The days were going by. The Lord was coming. Soon, the month was just during its last days, and there was no word from Lord Chaitanya. They were becoming very depressed. At that moment, unexpectedly, Narasinghananda Brahmachari appeared in the house of Shivananda Sen. He said, "Why do you look so sad? Why do we look so sad? We didn't go to Puri this year. Because Lord Chaitanya promised he would come at the month of Pausha. And now it's almost the end of the month. The Lord promised, but he hasn't come. How do we understand this? How do we understand this?" He said, "Let me look into this." He said, "I will personally bring Lord Chaitanya here within 3 days. I give you my word." Then he went into his meditation for 2 days. 2 days later, he comes out of his meditation. He tells Jagadananda Pandit and Shivananda Sen, "I've brought him already to Bengal. He's at the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati. Tomorrow, he'll be here. So we should arrange a wonderful feast. Get all sorts of vegetables and milk products and grains, and I will personally cook a feast." The next morning, very early, Narasinghananda Brahmachari cooked an excellent feast. So many delicious preparations. And just around noontime, he offered it on his altar. He had three deities: Lord Jagannath, Lord Narasinghadev, and Lord Chaitanya. He made a plate for each of the three deities. Not one plate, many plates for each of the three deities. And then he went into his meditation to bring Lord Chaitanya right onto the altar to eat the prasad. And before his eyes, he saw Lord Chaitanya appear. Narasinghananda Brahmachari, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling, his tears were flowing from his eyes as he saw Lord Chaitanya eat all the food on his plate, leaving no remnants. Then he went over to the plate of Lord Jagannath and ate all the food there and left no remnants. Then he sat at the plates of Lord Narasinghadev and ate everything with no remnants. Narasinghananda Brahmachari, although his heart was ecstatic with love, he exclaimed, "My Lord, I know you've eaten your own plate. That's excellent. And I know that you're non-different than Jagannath, so that's also excellent. But why did you eat all the food of my Ishtadev, Lord Narasinghadev? There's nothing for him now. How can I live if he doesn't eat nice lunch today?" Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains what really happened. In his heart of hearts, because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of a devotee too, in his heart of hearts, Narasinghananda Brahmachari was wondering, what is Lord Narasinghadev's relationship with Lord Chaitanya? And just to reciprocate with his desire and to reveal the real truth, the Lord ate all Lord Narasinghadev's offerings. So then, Narasinghananda Brahmachari understood without doubt that he is my Lord Narasinghadev. And he is the one who gave me this name. So he came out of his meditation and he looked really sad. And Jagadananda Pandit Shivananda Sen said, "Why do you look so sad and why are you calling out in anguish?" He said, "Because your Lord..." Do you know what he did today? He ate all the food of Lord Narasinghadev. And if the master doesn't eat, the servant has to fast. So bring all the ingredients again, and I will cook again to offer to Lord Narasingha. They understood that he has great power. They said, "Well, where is Lord Chaitanya?" He said, "He came here, he ate lunch, and then he returned. He's already back in Panihati again." "And then he's returning to Puri." Now, they knew that Narasinghananda Brahmachari, because of his devotion, he had tremendous power. But at the same time, it was quite confusing to them.
for he made a whole nother offering, presented it to his Lord, Narasingha Bhagavan, and then distributed the remnants. The next year, they all went for the Rath Yatra. And one day, in the Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extolled the glories of Narasingha Nanda Brahmachari. He said, Shivananda Sen was present, listening. He said, last year, in the month of Paush, I went all the way to the Navadvip area. He said, and you know, I went to Bengal, and Narasingha Nanda Brahmachari made such a wonderful feast for me. And he began to explain what type of sabjis, and what type of sweets, and what type of cakes he prepared. He said, I ate them all, and then I returned to Puri. And Shivananda Sen, Jagadananda Pandit then understood that he kept his word. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so satisfied with Narasingha Nanda Brahmachari's devotion to Lord Narasingha Dev. Srila Prabhupada has given us the path to Vrindavan and the worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has descended from Goloka Vrindavan specifically for the purpose of awakening Vrindavan within our hearts, revealing Radha and Krishna, their forms, their qualities, their pastimes, their abode, and our own relationship to Krishna in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explained that when he traveled around the world, he only had two things. He had faith in the words of his spiritual master, who ordered him to preach this message in the English language all over the world. And he had complete faith in the holy name of Krishna. That anyone, wherever they're from, whatever they've done or not done, if anyone sincerely takes shelter of the holy name of Krishna with a proper service attitude, they will be elevated to Vrindavan. Along with the name of Krishna, he's given us the Gayatri Mantra to help us to better chant Harinam. And he's also given in our temples this Narasingha Mantra and this Narasingha worship that is offered in all the temple events after the Aartis. This is our spirit. To help remove the obstacles, especially from purely chanting the holy names. Hare of causeless mercy, the Lord sends all help for his sincere devotees. And today, to help remove the obstacles from our devotional paths, Srila Prabhupada has sent one of his very, very favorite servants, disciples, and associates. His Holiness Purushottarai Maharaj. I don't know so much about his history, but I do know him by Prabhupada's mercy.
He's very much loved and respected wherever he may go in the world. For his knowledge of the Shastras, for his complete dedication, his humility, his love for the devotees. He's especially taken one of the very vital aspects of Prabhupada's mission to heart, self-sufficient farm communities, simple living, high thinking. He has been quite dedicated in this regard, as well as preaching in various parts of the world, South America especially. The field of preaching in South America is quite difficult in many ways. But he is a man of great integrity. And I am so grateful. I didn't know he was coming. He just unexpectedly appeared, like Narasinghananda Brahmachari, to relieve us of our depression and to bring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into our hearts by his nice Krishna Katha. Let us welcome Maharaj very, very gratefully.
Gyana Chivirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Shakshuru Miritam Jena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'd like to tell you some of my last experience in spiritual life. I came to Vindhya for Gaur Purnima. I spent Gaur Purnima in Vrindavan. Very sweet, very nice. This year I didn't go to Mayapur. I stayed in Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is like my home. In the 90s, I spent some years in Vrindavan. And then I feel very comfortable and very pleasing and tranquil in Vrindavan. And give too much inspiration. In Vrindavan, I got inspiration to, after 6-7 years I was here in India, and then I got inspiration. Now, you go to your country and try to do something practical and do one project. And then I came to my country in Brazil, and there was one project who was going on, but was very weak. And then I said, oh, I would do this as my offering to Srila Prabhupada. And this project, he grew nicely. Now we can show some results, some fruits. And now we have one nice team of devotees, few devotees, but very dedicated. And we are creating one model of self-sustainable communities for our movement, because somehow this type of project are being neglected, somewhat neglected. Devotees are concentrated most in the cities, the preaching, they are doing very well. But we have the Srila Prabhupada's mission is so broad. We can see how he was so inspired by Krishna, because he was concerned with so many details of the human society. And then he said, oh, you also have to develop this kind of project in the countryside, farm communities like that. And we have got in so far nice results. Nowadays we are self-sustainable in terms of food, in terms of energy. We are producing our own energy, electricity. And also, economically, we don't have an Indian community in Brazil, and then we don't have so much donation. It's a farm. We are not going outside to collect. And the farm is producing, and the devotees maintain itself with which they produce. This was very, very, it was, devotees were struggling so much. Because it's very difficult. Those who live in city go to countryside and to try to maintain themselves from that. Well, here in India, I was in Vrindavan and I came to know that there would be one big mela in South India. Actually, it's finishing today. On cow protection. And then I went there. I took advantage. I had some days, 2 weeks, and visit some different places. I went to Tirupati to see the new temple. And very nice, became very impressed. Yeah, very nice group of brahmacharis, and the preaching is going on. For example, today, Sunday, lots of people are visiting Shri Radha Govinda, beautiful, and the Ashtasakhi, very beautiful. And devotees are very happy and dedicated. I became really impressed. I had a very nice darshan in Tirumala, Lord Venkateshwara Balaji, very nice, special darshan. And in Tirupati, I met one devotee. He said, oh, I'm from Padayatri is in Kanchipuram. And then I went to Kanchipuram and had a very nice darshan, the Lord Vardaraj. And it's very nice to see the Vaishnavas, the Vedic culture, and so many Vaishnavas and dedicated to the worship of the Supreme Lord. Like, from Kanchipuram, I proceed to Srirangam. All the very nice place of Vaishnavas, the Lord Ranganath, very nice darshan I had. And then visit another ISKCON temple in Coimbatore, very nice preaching, very nice congregation. Devotees are doing one impressive preaching for the graduate people and educated people. And from Coimbatore, I proceed to Mangalore. Mangalore, big deities of Lord Jagannath. I was surprised. And then came in the temple room. I saw big deities of Lord Jagannath. This big, like this. I think the biggest in the ISKCON temples. Beautiful. And the devotees also happy and dedicated. We had some village festival, and I proceeded to Udupi, and then very nice darshan to Sri Krishna, Udupi, and the mood of the Brahma Madhava Sampradaya, Vaishnava mood, like that. Very nice. And then I went to this melon. This mela, something impressive. So big, so millions of people are visiting this mela, and they spend so much money. Someone told me 16 crores, like something like that. In a big ashram of this, Ramachandrapura, mats, like everything very big. Well, they take the flag of cow protection. Very nice mission like that. And also they want to protect the breeds of Indian cows. This originally there was 70 types of breeds in India, but now 30. And then because they are mixed, and then finally there is no pure breeds. But they try to keep this third original pure breeds there. It's good. And then so much talks about cows and cow protection, but Krishna was not the center. And Krishna is the lover of the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayaja. Krishna was not there. And then we see the difference. So many effort to protect the cows, but the master of the cows are not there. And this, like the mood is not the same. Mood is not the same. And then when I come back, I went to Belgaum. I met this devotee, Devamrita. And we came together to Belgaum. And again, that mood of Vaishnava mood, the Chaitanya's movement, again, I felt relieved. And I visited the farm in Belgaum. So nice. I appreciate so much. Devotees are really living very simple. And they are very nice cow protection. Really nice cow protection they are doing there. And then I want to go back and see how this project is going on in the future. And then now I'm on the way to my preaching field, Brazil, and then going, passing by Mumbai, and then tomorrow I'll be in Ujjain to see the new temple, and then Delhi, and go back to my country, because there are so many preaching to do there. In Brazil, it's very nice preaching. Very nice. There's a very nice congregation, nice temple. Not so big as in India, but the same mood. And I want to invite you to visit us. It's just the other side of the planet. Oh, the corner. But the Shakti of Srila Prabhupada is there. The same mood in Vrindavan. In our family, we are cultivating this mood of Vrindavan and dealing with the cows. In Brazil, we got in our farm pure Indian breeds. Pure. Because the Indian breeds, they have this hump. And then the milk, that the horns are like antennas of the sun. Yes. Everything is scientific. And the panchagavya, the milk, the dahi, the ghee, the urine, and the dung are completely pure. And then we can do really this cow therapy. There are so many remedies out of the cow. And then we are developing this in our country, the other side of the planet. But my realization is that after visiting so different temples in different lines, the orthodox and traditional Vaishnava lines, and also ISKCON temples, and also the (laughter) My conclusion is that we have the best in terms of devotional service. This is my conclusion. This is mine. This is my possession. Yes. Yes. No one told me, no one. I don't care for the opinions of others. This was my conclusion that I could feel, I could see like this. And then for many years, I will have this in my heart. Once more, it's always very nice, very healthy, yeah, to have some like clear realizations in these terms. I'm sure that Prabhupada gave us the best. Prabhupada, this movement, this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this mission of Srila Prabhupada is really victorious. Victorious. One that I, for example, in some lines, Vaishnavas, they are Vaishnavas, they are very respected. They are, for example, there's so big meetings and pravachams and discourse on the local language. We cannot understand. We are, even the Indians of other states cannot understand. But Srila Prabhupada's movement is an international society for Krishna consciousness. It's for everybody. Everybody. There's no barriers. There's no frontiers. It's for everybody. And then this is a special. Yeah? And then, in this way, I'm going back to my place, like happy, and today more happy because I meet His Holiness Radhanatha Swami and all the devotees of Mumbai, and I'm very grateful to you, and very satisfied, and pray to Lord Radha Gopinath to inspire us, inspire our lives, and keep us doing nice devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Maharaj ki. Thank you, Maharaj. It's a very beautiful talk. You have melted our hearts. It's like our hearts were bathed with pure milk and dahi. And ghee and urine and dung. In the form of your pure words, which are emanating like a Surabhi cow. I'd like to also welcome His Grace Braj Bihari Prabhu and his good wife Ananda Vrindavaneshwari and their son Gopinath Prabhu. They have been residing in Vrindavan for many years. Braj Bihari Prabhu has done so many wonderful services in the VIHE and in the Gurukul. And now he has the inconceivable outstanding service of developing and overseeing mediation within our society. Yes? Trying to resolve conflicts through pure Krishna consciousness and utilizing various skills and tools for that purpose.
And he's actually become one of the most popular people on demand in the whole world, even on the other side of the planet. Just next door on the other side of the planet. And Ananda Vrindavaneshwari Devi is the principal and headmaster of the Gurukul in Vrindavan, a project that Srila Prabhupada personally established and very dear to his heart. And it's full of many, many challenges and even more obstacles. And let us pray to Lord Narasingadev to remove all the obstacles on her path from making such a wonderful school to disseminate pure devotional service for the satisfaction of Srila Prabhupada. And Gopinath is one of the best students. Let us very gratefully welcome them. Can you all stand up? Vrajbihari Prabhu, Vrindavaneshwari Devi, and if Gopinath happens to be here, let us very loudly welcome them to Radha Gopinath. And we also have from London the illustrious Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranavandu Prabhu. Ananda Vigraha and Hari Vamsa Prabhu and his good wife Krishnapurna Devi and Pranabandhu Prabhu's wife Ananda Vigraha Devi. To speak about all of them individually will take a long time, but I will say this. It may take a long time too. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur back in the 1930s sent some of his most empowered preachers to London to establish a center and preach Krishna consciousness, considering London to be such a vitally important place in the world. Because his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, personally ordered him to teach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. At that time, the British Empire, it was so big that the sun never set. Now I don't think it rises. And if it does, it's too foggy to see it. But they controlled India, Australia, Canada, so much of Africa, so many places. And the English language became the prominent language on the whole planet due to London. Yes? They just spread out. So that was the natural place to establish Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world. And, of course, he was not satisfied with his disciples' efforts. But later on, Srila Prabhupada, he got a boat to New York. And within a couple of years, he sent some of his nicest Grihastha devotees to London. And since then, Krishna consciousness has been expanding. But not without tremendous obstacles. I'm not going to go into details. But the preaching in London is one of the most difficult places at one time due to internal problems. And many, many obstacles and many heartbreaking experiences. And the majority of the devotees there, although wonderful devotees, they lost heart. And many of them, you know, gave up the enthusiasm to preach. But through it all, Pranabandhu Prabhu and Shruti Dharma Prabhu have maintained like formidable pillars. The same kind of pillar Lord Narsingadev came out of, actually. Their enthusiasm, their determination to perform their sadhana, commitment to Prabhupada's mission, and preaching. And really, very much by their efforts, especially preaching to Indians, which was what they were assigned to do. It's the largest, most successful Janmashtami celebration in the world. In London, what is it, about 90,000 people come to Bhaktivedanta Manor for Janmashtami. And there is dramas and kirtans and displays like you have never seen. And there's just, it's just such a wonderful project. And these devotees are just outstanding. And they have so much love and affection for Radha Gopinath Temple and their devotees. Gauranga Prabhu goes there, Govinda Prabhu goes there, Gaur Gopal Prabhu goes there, Radha Gopinath has gone there, Braj Bihari goes there, Sri Dama Kishori may be going there, all to help with the preaching efforts. And along with Gauri Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, and Shruti Dharma Prabhu, they have made a pact with our temple that we are like brothers and sisters working together to help each other. It's like a marriage between us. It's the only marriage I've ever actually involved with. And it's such a pleasure to work with them in every way. And Ananda Vigraha, is the wife of Pranabandhu Prabhu, she's also here, just so hardworking. And Hari Bamsa Prabhu is a very, very senior devotee. He is an ophthalmologist. That means he gives vision to people whose eyes are distorted. And I'm ashamed to tell you, but I'm also very proud of it, that he's the first person to convince me to wear spectacles. For years I was reading, and you know, I was just wondering why in Kali Yuga the books are getting more and more blurry. I was thinking this must be one of the symptoms of Kali. The print is just like that. But Hari Vamsa Prabhu, he says, I want to check your eyes. I said, my eyes are fine. There's no problem. It's the print the Kali Yuga print that's the problem. My eyes are fine. He said, no. I thought I was had normal vision. He said, I insist. And I came there several times, and he was almost dragging me to his office, and I just refused. And he vowed. Yes, he vowed that I'm going to get you spectacles. He said, I've already gotten so many of your sannyasi godbrothers. He has a whole list. I said, I'm seeing very nicely, no problem. So just, you know, he brought me to his house. He fed me so much prasad that I had no power to resist. So I sat in the chair and he put all these chemicals in my eyeballs. And then he did all these tests. And I thought, why did I subject myself to all this? And then he gave me spectacles. And then I put them on. And it was like Satya Yuga. Thank you. so nice to read. And his good wife, Krishnapurna Devi, is one of the most hardworking devotees. She takes tremendous leadership responsibilities for Bhaktivedanta Manor. And really, these devotees are just super excellent Vaishnavas. And my heart is just melting with the thought that they have come here. Can you all stand up, please? Let us very enthusiastically welcome them to the And we also have Madhava Prabhu. Who is one of the most beloved devotees to the hearts of Vaishnavas all over the world. For his very sweet devotional kirtans. And I can say about Madhava Prabhu that the reason his kirtans go so deep into the heart and awaken bhakti is because of his humility, his sincerity, his love for Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and especially his faith in the holy name. And he's come here to chant for about 5 to 7 hours a day for the next 4 days. And he never tires. He becomes more enthusiastic as the hours go by. Can you stand up, Madhava Prabhu? He has come all the way from Switzerland just for this festival to chant for us. Let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath. And there are so many other wonderful, wonderful guests. I'd like to say something about Krishna Abhishek Prabhu. He is from Calcutta, a disciple of His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Just a day and a half before Srila Prabhupada took Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj from this world, Maharaj was telling me that when he graduates with his PhD from Cambridge University, he wants to start a Vaishnav Institute of Learning in Calcutta. And the reason? Because he had so much love and confidence in his disciples in Calcutta. Such persons as Krishna Abhishek Prabhu. His mission is he wanted to really infiltrate the academic world with Krishna consciousness. To give scholars a real understanding of Prabhupada's teachings and give authority to those teachings, which is something that Srila Prabhupada really wanted. And to inspire people and devotees all over the world through this process. He was just finishing his PhD thesis when Radha Madhava took him to the spiritual world. Krishna Abhishek Prabhu, taking the spirit and the mission of his guru as his life and soul, he went to Oxford University and got a master's degree. And his thesis was on his PhD thesis at Oxford, I mean his master's degree thesis at Oxford University was on the subject of Lord Jagannath in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And his thesis and master's degree won very high distinctions from the scholars of Oxford. And now, following in the footprints of his Guru Maharaj, he's already been given scholarships to major universities. He's been accepted by Oxford, Cambridge, University of Chicago, and California. And he's selecting which one to work on his PhD. And one devotee named Garuda Prabhu, disciple of Prabhupada, has accepted to be his tutor, his guide. And the same PhD guide who was working with Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has also accepted him. And what he's going to do, which just makes my heart overflow with happiness, is he's taking where his Guru Maharaj left off in his thesis and developing that and completing that thesis and expanding on it. And he's going to get his PhD on the Bhakti Vedanta purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Guru Nishtha. This is Guru Seva, making the mission of his Guru his life and soul. And I have expressed to him that I can just feel Tamal Krishna Goswami's blessings just showering upon him from Goloka. His name is Krishna Abhishek, and I believe that Tamal Krishna Goswami is giving him an Abhishek of Krishna's mercy. And we're so happy that he's here. Can you stand up, please? Let us offer our gratitude to him by loudly chanting Hare Krishna. And my prayer is, from the core of my heart, I'm sure you'll get your PhD. There'll be many obstacles, but Lord Nrsingadev will definitely remove those obstacles. But my prayer is, along with your PhD, you always remain meek and humble. The combination of the two is an irresistible opulence that will attract Krishna and the hearts of so many conditioned souls. And to all of the other guests who have come, there's so many, we welcome you. At this time, we will have Nam Sankirtan. Would you like to sing, Madhav Prabhu? Will you empower me? But stay close so you can take over. I'll just be the warm-up, and then you can make everybody very happy. So, would you like to dance? Please dance.